This is Out and About on Peoria Public Radio. I'm Nathan Irwin.
And I'm Jen Gordon from Arts Partners of Central Illinois. This week, we're talking with Bobby Rice from Wheels O' Time Museum. Bobby, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me again. It's always great to be here. I always enjoy it.
Well, it's wonderful to have you. Now, you have, in addition to the permanent collection that you have at the museum, you have a special exhibit on display during the month of July. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Right. The Early 4 VA Club changes their exhibit every month. And this month happens to be Tractor Month. And at first, it sounds like, tractors. Why would a city person want to go see tractors if I'm living in a city and listening to this show? Well, these tractors are really unique. We have a Tiemann, a Schramm, and Ford 8N tractors. They're different models. And all of these things have one thing in common. They have the same Ford engine in them. Hmm. And the same as what the cars are made in from the mid-30s to the 52. And the Tiemann was a kit tractor that was built during the Depression, sold during the Depression, and a farmer could buy it as a kit. He usually had an extra engine and transmission on the property. He could slip that in and have a utility tractor for $600. And that's what makes that tractor unique. It's also unique because it looks like a gangly teenager or a plumber that went nuts. I mean, those are my two descriptions. There's so many. It's not streamlined. It's all strictly pipes, and along with an engine and a seat and three wheels.
You've also got a group of tractors that are going to be participating in a tractor drive a little later this month. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because that sounds like a neat idea.
It was a neat idea. Last year, this group called Central Illinois Heritage Tractor Club came to us, and they're from Princeville, Wyoming, Chillicothe area. And they said, you know, we're going to have our tractors at the Heart of Illinois Fair, and could we leave a few of them at your museum from like Sunday through Friday, which would be the 17th through the morning of the 22nd, and then do a drive from Wheels of Time up to Princeville Heritage Museum to kick off their tractor days that they kind of have the following day. And we thought, why not? So we did it, and a few more tractors joined them last year. And we started at 9 o'clock in the morning. They did. Mm-hmm. And they finished up by about 10:30. And they took back roads once they got off the highway, and had a police escort for a little ways, and they went on their own the rest of the way. And it was, once they got to the up to Princeville, they turned around and said to me, it was fun. We want to do it next year. And now we have a couple of people have already called and said, we're not a part of this group, but can we come do it? And we want to know if you do to register with us ahead of time if you're interested. So they can call the museum or contact me personally or Marcia to register themselves. There's no cost for this. We're just trying to get people involved. Last year we had about 15 or 16 tractors, of which about 13 or 14 stayed on our grounds for 5 days that people came along and looked at.
And so if people just want to watch the tractor drive, it starts at 9
it
o'clock?
It starts at 9 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, they can come out anywhere from the museum up to Cedar Hills Drive, and then going west on Cedar Hills Drive, then they cut north and take the back roads and come into Princeville, and you look at Princeville. At the edge of Princeville, you can also see them coming into town, too.
And you've also got an exhibit of military vehicles this summer, including a Jeep, a Humvee, and a Mutt. For those of us who don't remember and weren't around, what's a Mutt?
Okay. First of all, the Jeep we have is from the Korean War era, and, of course, was also used. Similar models were used in World War II. The Mutt was developed during the Vietnam era, and it's a little bit different because they felt it had a better suspension system for being in the sand, which the Jeep wasn't designed for, okay, and the climate that you don't think about the differences. But we also learned, they also learned, that MUTs, which are military utility tactical transportation vehicles, was designed for this type of terrain. But what they didn't realize was that it was not safe, and it could tip over easily.
Oh.
And many of our soldiers were killed in Vietnam because of the Mutt tipping over. And when the government stopped using them, they realized they were dangerous to the public, and they didn't want to sell a military surplus. So they not only cut them in half, they cut them into smaller pieces than that. And people still were able to obtain them and weld them back together. And the one we have today was in multiple pieces when but they were able to obtain this, and they welded it back together. You'd never know that. Also, in that particular vehicle, it is a very shiny vehicle. And you think, why would a Jeep be shiny? Well, it's for preservation of being in the dense forest and the humidity that you're dealing with over in the Vietnam era. And then the Humvee that we have is from 1987, which is just as the Gulf War was starting. When they first made this, they made it as a larger vehicle, and it has also could handle more equipment on it. But then they realized, once they got into Desert Storm, it wasn't quite adequate because it needed another 5,000 pounds of armament on it, because this one that we have does not have that. So we don't think about these things, that as civilians, and we have these set up in a U-shape form in the firehouse area so that people can get off the path and stand by it as a photo op to take a picture with Grandpa that might have been in Vietnam or somebody in Desert Storm. They can get pictures of themselves or with kids with these vehicles that they experienced in using in the service.
So in addition to these rotating displays and the obviously special events like the tractor pull, you have an amazing permanent collection, and the grounds are quite extensive. Can you go through an overview of the museum itself?
We have 30,000 square feet of exhibits in four buildings on just under 4 acres of property. And when you look at the property going by, you may not think it looks that big, but it's deep. And also some things are on two different levels. So we have the car. We have 40 cars, 3 fire trucks, a music room, clock room, grandma's kitchen, the library, the radio station, and just many other ag lab display, dolls, toys, fashion, just so many items to look at and to see that and a model airplane's overhead. So there's something in there to pique everyone's curiosity. And we're going back 50 to 100 years, and many of these items were made in the Peoria area or in the state of Illinois. And it's kind of unique because we also have a plane that was not made in Illinois. Well, it's a kit, but like a BD-5, like what James Bond flew in the movie Octopussy Through the Barn. We have one of those suspended in the air. I mean, that's just a fun thing to have up there. Yeah. And it's just a fuselage, but you could bring the whole thing down and add the engine and add a landing gear and put different wings on it, and it would fly. We're also working with the HOIVAC, which is Heart of Illinois Fire Enthusiast Group, and they're restoring our 1931 Aarons Fox fire truck, which I first saw 16 years ago in pieces. When our museum president said, "We want to restore this someday," I thought, mm-hmm. Well, that reality has happened. It's been 3.5 years in the making, and they're not quite done. But it's been a work in progress for visitors. They can see when they come out, they can see how it's happened. This became a frame-off restoration and painting and put back together. And it's been a major job. It did not run for 50 years.
Given the range of what's already in your collection, you've got vehicles and you've got toys and kitchen appliances and other artifacts, what guides your decisions about what to acquire and what to add to the collection? How do you decide what stays?
It's getting more difficult. First of all, our first priority is, does it pertain to Peoria in some way, and would it be interesting from that standpoint? That's the first thing. And then secondly, do we have space for it? If the answer is no, we may not be able to do it right now. And we've had to say no on some things. We have a new exhibit coming online, which is not quite completed yet, called River and Rails. And that's been about 3 years in the making. And we'll talk about that as we get it completed. It's about history of transportation in Peoria from the 1830s to now. So how do we get this? It's just happenstance. And you just have to think about, what do we want to change? Do we feel this is appropriate for what we're doing? And that's the best guideline I can work with.
You've got an exhibit coming up in August that I think a lot of people could be excited about. It's Mustang Month. What do you have planned for that?
We started it a couple years ago when it was the 50th year of Mustangs. The Ford guys thought, okay, we'll deviate from V8s and put Mustangs in because it's 50 years of Mustangs. And this year, they haven't told me which three they're putting in. But they're getting three. I know that, but I just don't know which three they're getting. And it's kind of fun because then some of the people that have Mustangs want to come out and look at those three, but they also may want to look at the rest of the museum, which they may not have seen before. And last year, we had a Shelby that was one of the first ones that was ever made, and then we had a new car and one in the middle. So we had some unique cars that were not normal Mustangs for the Mustang, for the people that enjoy looking at Mustangs.
I think when I saw the Mustangs, either last year or the year before, a couple of them had the hood popped, so you could stick your head in and look at the actual mechanics of the engine and how the car operated.
And each one's different because it depends on if it was a Shelby model or if it was a regular manufacturer model. And that's what makes the difference.
Bobby, can you talk a little bit about the reactions from people from different generations? This is it really appeals to a wide age range.
It's a multi-generational facility and a museum, and everyone has a good time there. And if you go to TripAdvisor and Yelp, you can see positive reviews, and so many are making comments about this is great for all ages because the younger ones like to play with the circus parade, the kinetic energy machine, and the big train outside and the model trains upstairs, and other things that they can get in and do and push buttons. That's one thing about it. We have things that people can push buttons in our facility. Many places, museums you walk into, you can't touch anything. Now, we have a lot of things you can't touch. We have a few, but we have things you can. Mm-hmm. And that kind of is like an energy relief. Mm-hmm. And kids do not know what a typewriter is. They can go upstairs and play with a typewriter. In our library, we've left a doodle pad. Do you know how much has ended up with a doodle pad? We've seen families. We've walked by the door. There's air conditioning up there. I should admit, and we've walked by. There's a family sitting around the library table just talking or letting the kids or somebody just doodle for a few minutes. They're just interacting. Do they do this with a smartphone at home?
Now, the museum season runs from May through the end of October.
Right.
What are you doing the rest of the year when the museum is closed?
First of all, we're not totally climate controlled.
Okay.
So that's why we close. Also, the tourism traffic drops off. And we're in Illinois. We're not down in the southern state where it stays warmer. And then we take all of our displays in our main building and in the new Ford building and move everything back and out of the way. And we have car storage for winter car storage. So people who do want to store a vehicle for the winter can contact. So we have a list now, but we always have people, some that can't do it, don't anymore, and more people wanting to do it. And they can, for a fee, have their car in there for winter storage from mid-November to mid-April. We clean it out. So that's, and then what else do? We work on projects. And now that we have the fourth building that is climate controlled, more of our guys can work on projects back there year-round. And we still get, I still work out there. My job's year-round, even though the museum's closed. And I'm a volunteer, but I do all my a lot of advertising comes up in mid-season. So we do a lot of work behind the scenes during that 6 months, and we need that time.
Well, Bobby, I love that you talked about the local connection. These artifacts are all locally sourced here. Can you talk a little bit about the experience that people have when they come through the museum and perhaps how it further connects them with their heritage living in the Midwest?
I think it may do that. It also illustrates to people from the other countries what the Midwest and what the culture was like. One day, one of our members had a group from China over, and their question was consistently, how old is this object? Mm. Because their government destroyed anything 50 or 100 years old. They have things 5,000 years old, but not the things that we take for granted as knowing about. Mm. And they were asking them constantly, what is that question? And people also thank us for preserving this heritage. They say someone needs to do this. Because East Peoria was the washing machine capital of the world at one time. Do you know that? That's where the AD building is now, the Caterpillar has. But Haig Brothers and Altorfer washing machine companies were in that location. And we have washing machines with buttons to operate for the agitators and everything. And adults and children can push the buttons. There's also a set in there of steam whistles. So kids can pull the different kinds of steam whistles to understand what a steam engine or a Calliope or any other kind of engine in town, five of them are there. They can get, and of course, they're, a lot of the times they're holding their ears with one hand and pulling with the other. That's that kind of sound.
That's Bobby Rice from the Wheels of Time Museum, located on Woodside Drive, just off of North Knoxville. Their season continues until the end of October. Bobby, thank you again for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
This weekend, the Children's Community Theater presents Singing in the Rain at Peoria Players Theater. Performances continue through Sunday afternoon. For more information, visit www.cctpeoria.org. Out and About is a production of Peoria Public Radio and Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Each week, we connect you to the arts community by talking with local arts leaders and performers.
Our producer is Sierra Doss. For a longer version of this interview, you can subscribe to our weekly podcast at peoriapublicradio.org. I'm Nathan Irwin, and this is Out and About. Our producer is Sierra Doss. If you'd like to learn more about Peoria Public Radio, you can visit our website, peoriapublicradio.org. I'm Nathan Irwin, and this is Out and About.